Hi, and welcome to the Oil and Gas Accounting Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tom Weyerman, Executive Director of COPAS, the Council of Petroleum Accountant Societies. I'm here with my co-host, Phil Sherwood, owner and founder of Sureware, that provides software for oil and gas operators and accountants. If you're a CPA, an accountant, a bookkeeper, an office manager, or if you're an oil and gas operator doing your own accounting, this podcast is for you.
We're here talking with the experts in their respective accounting areas to keep you up to speed on the latest accounting news, rules, and data. There is so much happening in the world today, especially in oil and gas, that affects the accounting function of a business. Our job on this podcast is to keep you up to date and help you see more, know more, and do more as an accounting professional in our field. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Oil and Gas Accounting Podcast. On this podcast, we dig into the topics of interest and that are relevant to those of you that work in oil and gas. And today I'm speaking with my co-host, Tom Weyerman, about the upcoming COPAS spring meeting that's happening next week. Hey, Tom, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am very good. I bet you've been busy putting this whole thing together.
Yeah, leading up to the COPAS meetings, it's always a very intense time, but it's one of my favorite times too, because there's so many connections and things that we have to make to ensure that all the aspects of the meeting come together. And it's, you know, we don't talk to each other all the time, but I do enjoy this time of year when I have a chance to speak to people in detail about what we're doing. So it's fun.
Yeah, that's nice. It's almost like a family reunion in some ways, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. That's a great way to put it, actually, because it is a very extended family. We recently lost a longtime member, and just the care and concern, the emails and things that were going around, making sure that everybody knew that we had lost this particular member, and you know, kind of checking in on everybody too. I think it's one of those things that it's just best described as a big family reunion type of event, because we are very close.
Yeah, I remember when the meetings that I've attended anyway, that's what the feel I got was, even coming in as a new person.
But, and you know, the same thing too. I mean, for those long lost relatives that we haven't seen for some time, I mean, they're welcome in just like they've been there all the time. And so, you know, that would be the thing I would say about these meetings that we hold is, you know, you may have been away for a little while, but you know, you are remembered and you are cared for and you are welcomed, and people take time to get to know you more or visit with you and catch up on what's happened from the last time that you saw each other. So,
yeah. On the flip side of that too, coming in as a new member, you feel like a new family member. Everybody embraces you really quickly.
It's like a new birth or a new marriage in the family. You know, you get somebody new in there too. So yeah, I that's an excellent way to really kind of characterize how this all works. So,
all right. Well, let's get talking about this stuff.
You know, before we get started, Phil, I might take just a second to acknowledge the fact that this is a big anniversary year for COPAS. We turned 60. So cheers to 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that we were celebrating our 50th anniversary in Houston. And I was thinking, golly, that's, you know, I can't believe 10 years has gone by that so fast. And, but, you know, just to give you a quick recap, or our listeners a quick recap on COPAS, you know, we were first organized in February 1961. That very first meeting brought a few societies together, and they talked about purpose. And while the first COPAS meeting was held in 1961, the purpose was really to, I guess, unite everybody. So stronger as one is kind of the phrase I like to use. So COPAS was organized to bring together petroleum accountant societies in North America. And back then, you know, we really didn't have other societies outside of the United States. We have one in Canada now, but and over time, we've had a few interests expressed from other countries. They did drop North America in about 1980 or so. So it's just known as COPAS rather than Council Petroleum Accountants Society of North America. But the purpose back then was to coordinate the work of participating societies and to increase the effectiveness of the various societies. So the organizers' desire to avoid duplication of effort, especially in the solution of finding of common problems, and to add the weight of authority, which, you know, COPAS is really regarded as the authority in the industry these days, as opposed to the individual organizations that existed. So, you know, you might find it interesting that even though COPAS has been around since 1961, there are societies that predate COPAS. There were 12 societies that came together. They were the founding or charter members of the council. So it's interesting that that we've had some societies even that predate COPUS. You know, Los Angeles the first in 1926. That group no longer exists, but there are a couple of other long-time societies, Tulsa in 1929, and Kansas in 1936 that have been continuously active. So, you know, a great deal has happened in the last 60 years, and I just wanted to take a minute to recall the many efforts that went into forming the organization that we know today as COPUS, and for all the efforts that they put forward and being visionary and seeing the kinds of things of, you know, recognizing that we're stronger as one and that we needed the weight of authority in the industry, as opposed to having individual groups out there trying to do the same thing. So,
Congratulations on 60 years. That's a big accomplishment, especially when you are bringing so many different people together, and to form a consensus to provide that weight of authority is huge. So congratulations.
Thank you. And it's my privilege and my honor really to serve as the executive director of the organization. And I'm only the eighth in that 60-year time frame, so I hope to be around for a little bit longer yet. I'm not quite ready for retirement, but I do hope that we have an opportunity to continue to carry on this organization for some time to come.
All right. Well, let's start talking a little bit about the spring meeting. I know there's one meeting by the time this podcast airs will have already taken place, but most of it's going to be happening next week, which is, give me the dates on that.
It's April the 19th, which is Monday. The board meeting starts on Monday, but for most people, it's the 20th through the 22nd. So Tuesday through Thursday. Right.
Okay. So tell us about the COPUS meetings in general. How often do they meet?
Well, COPUS meets twice a year in a formal sense, and that is really the council gets together. We have committee meetings five times a year. So January, April, July, October, and then again, some meet later, but you know, we have an opportunity to get together to review various council business twice a year, so spring and fall. And during those week-long meetings, our various committees meet to review publications and development, they hear speakers, or they discuss the latest trends in the industry. And again, those meeting dates are coming up here just around the corner, April 20th through the 22nd. It's not too late to register. That you can find the registration form online. There's a nominal fee, not much, but you know, we do need a registration from everybody so that we can get you the meeting links. This is a virtual meeting. With COVID, we've had to move to a virtual meeting starting about a year ago. Our spring 2020 meeting was the first to go to the virtual format. We're finding a lot of people really like that. You don't have to leave your office. You don't have to travel. It'll be participation from everybody. You can tune in from your office and listen to what parts of it you want to and skip the others if you don't. But I would encourage everybody, since it is easy to attend, to at least attend as much of it as you possibly can. We do offer CPE, which is important for some people. Other people just want to go because they're so ingrained in what we do as far as committee work and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I used to attend these meetings, like I was saying, and I really, really enjoyed just meeting the folks that work in other companies in the accounting functions. And I love just the camaraderie of coming together. And I really enjoyed some of the spirited discussions too, in some of the committees. Sometimes it can get really spirited, but everybody walks out of there as friends, and it's so fun to watch.
It is, you know, and in a sense too, I mean, we have some members and not everybody. So I hope our listeners don't take this as everybody is expected to know this, but some of our members can quote chapter and verse from our publications. They can quote exact language from you from pick a publication and a section, and they can give you exact language in that. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to do that, but it's kind of fun when people start throwing those kinds of things out. I'm always amazed, I guess, at the level of knowledge that our members have and how they can tie all those pieces together. I mean, I don't work in that every day. Since I moved to the executive director role, I'm more of an oversight administrative kind of thing. So I'm a little bit removed from that day-to-day work that I did, say 10, 15 years ago. But it's really fun to listen to those discussions, and somebody will raise a point and they go, "What? But have you thought about?" And it's like, "Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that's digging up things in my memory too." So.
Yeah, you had mentioned that this is an all virtual conference again, and we've attended a lot of these over the last year. And One thing that I've found in a lot of the meetings that I've gone to virtually is there are a lot more people that show up virtually than they do in person. Is that something you've experienced in some of these meetings?
Most definitely. And it's like, okay, so I like the phrase, the genie's out of the bottle. I worry a little bit, and I say that kind of just loosely. I'm just wondering what our meetings are going to look like, say, this time next year when we go back to the in-person meetings. You know, the fact is that we've gotten probably twice as many people attending our meetings in a virtual format than we would of an in-person. And I find that to be beneficial because you get that many more ideas or thoughts, or, you know, you're getting that many more people exposed to the concepts that we're trying to research for a publication or whatever. But yeah, I mean, we've seen tremendous interest in our meetings and things, and that's part of the way that those companies can participate. And again, we always say COPUS benefits you as an individual, but it benefits your company. Because if you don't have your feet under the table to discuss these COPUS publications, you're going to have to live with the results. And then lastly, it benefits the industry too, again, and that's part of the reason why we exist as an organization. So yeah, we have seen probably about double the attendance at our meetings being in a virtual format. So we just got to figure out going forward what that's going to look like, how we're going to get that hybrid possibility out there for people.
Yeah, that will be interesting because some people love to, you know, get together and hug and shake hands and everything. We're all missing that. But on the flip side, we really love, you know, being able to, like you were saying, just jump in on a meeting from our office or from our couch or wherever we might be at the time. It's so convenient and the costs are so much lower. I know our company saved close to $40,000 last year by not attending trade shows and conferences and things like that. So the cost savings can be huge. Just having virtual meetings.
They can be. It's just, you always wonder a little bit about what you're trading off in terms of, you know, that connection that might have brought you an additional sale, or, you know, that you might've had a connection that helps you find that next volunteer for a project team or whatever, because you have a chance to get to meet people. I am a firm believer in the face-to-face stuff. I just feel like so much more gets done in that regard, but we're in a different time. So, you know,
yes.
COVID's been the catalyst for a lot of things, and you know, it's going to be a challenge for us to react and to think about how we're going to do this on a go forward basis. So,
yeah, one of my favorite tracks of most conferences is what's called the hallway track, and that's where you're just standing out in the hall talking to folks, you know. And like you were saying, you could make deals there, you can get ideas. It's just a great way to meet people. In conjunction with that, in these virtual meetings, some of them that I've attended have like a hallway track where there's just a room where people go in to chat and connect. Do you guys have anything like that going on this meeting?
We don't in this meeting. We tried it the last time. A year ago, we were shocked and just almost knocked off our seat a little bit to say, oh my gosh, we're not going to be able to meet in person. And that decision came so late. And we were able to get out of our hotel contract, thankfully, and it took a little negotiation and things to do that. But we try to do a hospitality suite, a virtual hospitality suite. And hospitality suites, in our case, is really where that hallway track, in a sense, you get people together. People wander in and out, you know, they nibble on food. And but there's just so many conversations going on, and it's so informal that you know, anybody can participate. But we don't have that plan for this time. We didn't get as much participation in that last time as we'd hoped to. But, you know, I know people are extremely busy these days. And that was just one of those things that we kind of tacked on to the end. And by then they had kind of gotten what they wanted out of the meeting. And it didn't maybe pan out as well. But I do think that that's an important aspect of what these meetings are all about.
All right. Well, let's talk about the meeting itself. What takes place at the spring meeting? Is there any preparation somebody needs to do before they show up?
Yeah, so we have six standing committees that meet. So we have joint interests, audit, revenue, small oil and gas companies, education and financial reporting. Audit's has a subcommittee called emerging issues, and I'll talk just a little bit about that here in a minute. You know, joint interests and audit parallel each other in the fact that they're really focused, as you might guess, on the cost side of things. So, you know, expenses, operating expenses, capital expenses, those kinds of things. we have a mix of speakers come in. We have presentations, especially on our publications development. You'll see at this meeting, there's going to be a new accounting procedure being discussed. It's under development. We've also got a new remote technology center publication that will come up for a vote. That has been through the process. It's been through the pipeline, as we say. It will replace AG 28 if it's approved. It will need council approval to be formalized, but the committees will vote on that and agree that it's in its final form and recommend it to council for approval. Revenue, it's a little bit different focus. It's a little bit different organization. So, you know, typically we have you're either joint interest or your revenue if you're in an operating company. Revenue focuses more on, as you might imagine, revenue issues, production tax, regulatory matters, those kinds of things. They bring in speakers that are going to focus on that, and their presentations are going to reflect that as well. You know, maybe not with the COVID restrictions that are in place, but we often get ONRR, which some of you may remember is, in my day anyway, it was the Minerals Management Service, now the Office of Natural Resource Revenue. They're going to make presentations and answer questions and things too. And so we have a very close relationship with that organization, and they're very good about providing speakers and things. I mean, so many of our members deal with them on a regular basis in terms of, federal lands and those kinds of things. So it's really important that we have that connection, and we try to get them connected to our meetings and things too, to make presentations to our interested members. Small oil and gas companies formed about 25 years ago. It was really a group focused more on the small oil and gas company where, you know, as an individual in the accounting department, you have many, many different hats to wear. You might have the HR function. You may do payroll. You may do marketing of the production. You know, it may not be quite those levels of things, but those larger companies, they have departments that handle that sort of thing. And typically you might be the accounting department. So we have a group focused on those kinds of things. They often meet with our financial reporting group or committee, and they have shared presentations on that. Usually we get speakers to come in and talk about things like insurance or those matters that are really extremely important to those members that are focused in that area. And then lastly, education is going to meet, and you might guess what they're going to talk about. Yeah, education. So they've got a little project going on. We have the APA, the Accredited Petroleum Accountant. They're going to look at some study materials for us on that. So that group is going to sit down and discuss how that might be able to, or how they might be able to provide some information for us. So,
well, I know you mentioned a lot of these committees and they do a lot of work, but before I ask the next question, can we close the loop on, you know, what's needed to attend these meetings? In other words, do I need to know anything before I attend these meetings? And do I need to be a COPUS member? Can somebody visit?
Good questions. And sorry, I didn't really fully answer your last question because you did ask me what preparation was needed and I didn't really get to that. So let me address the first one, or the question you had about COPUS member, non-COPUS member. Anybody can attend these meetings. You don't have to be a COPUS member to attend. We encourage anybody and everybody to attend these meetings because, again, I mean, that's where you're going to get the learning and the knowledge. So we don't have the requirement. We do often get a few non-COPUS members, but typically it's COPUS members. So if anybody is interested, they can contact the office and we can get you some more information on that. But as far as preparation and things, I mean, you know, outside the fact that we really like people to have read the publication that's been drafted, those get distributed ahead of time. There are a few people that read it as they get there. And that's you know, kind of the function of, you know, what you also have going on at the office. But we have a lot of people that come well prepared for those kinds of things. So I guess what I'm saying is that you can kind of be very well prepared by reading those things. You can get it, you can read it right before you come, or you can come and sit in through the discussions and really pick up a lot of the knowledge and things that are in there. So not a lot of prerequisites to attend, you know, just the willingness to learn and to contribute is really one of the things I would say would be the most important.
Yeah. So if you want to participate in the discussion, it really helps to know what you're discussing by having read the document that they're discussing beforehand.
Correct. Especially where, you know, so in, I'm not the best person to discuss this necessarily. I would point you back to a team member on that. But for example, the accounting procedure is going to look, I would say, quite a bit different than some of the past ones that we've had. I mean, there's just been enough things going on. Our last one was in 2005, and the one before that was 1984. So we call it the 20, 2x, because we don't know if it's going to be 22 or 23. It takes a long time to get consensus on those kinds of things. But, you know, that would be one of those things where, you know, you just want to come prepared to know really what changes are being considered for the accounting procedure. So it's just going to look different than some of our past ones.
Well, let's talk about emerging issues. What does that involve?
One of my favorite groups. It's probably my favorite of all that we do. So, you know, it's probably our best attended committee meeting. It's actually a subcommittee meeting of audit, but essentially the leaders of this subcommittee present cases that have come up in their dealings. So perhaps, you know, revealed in an audit, for example. These issues are discussed and we take straw polls. And sometimes we encourage people to vote early and vote often. And by that, they just means if you really like the concept or whatever, you put both hands in the air. If you can get a foot in the air, we'll count that too. But generally what we're saying is that we try to gauge the interest of people to say whether it's an issue we need to bring forward and make it a publication or how that might impact some of our existing publications. So you learn a great deal. Even if you don't think you're very well versed on a matter or publication, you're going to learn a great deal. And again, that's a lot of times where we get these really impassioned members speaking up and saying kinds of things that they do. I won't say it's a free for all necessarily, but it's a very passionate discussion. And again, probably one of my favorite things to see, just because, you know, we let anybody speak.
Well, what publications are going to be discussed in some of the other committee meetings, like revenue and joint interest?
Well, again, I mentioned the accounting procedure, so in the accompanying model form interpretation, so that there will be two publications there. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that our last publication for accounting procedure was 2005, but you know, it's new things have come up, and so it's time for a new accounting procedure. We're also going to look at the MFI on the 24-month limitation. So again, if you have adjustments to make to the joint account, you have a certain amount of time in which those have to be affected. I don't recall off the top of my head what the specific issue is that's causing us to consider opening this document and making some changes. And I apologize for that. It escapes me in this call. But, you know, periodically we review everything that we do just to make sure that we remain relevant in what we do and industry leading. So that will be what that publication covers. And again, we've already pretty much hashed out the remote technology centers kind of document, but that'll come up for a vote.
Okay. Well, I've got the schedule in front of me here. I just want to read off to folks. If you're thinking it's going to take all day to attend the meeting, it's not, because you've got these things spaced out pretty well. Like on Monday, there's the emerging issues at 9 a.m. and then a board of directors meeting in the afternoon. And then Tuesday, the revenue committee meets at 9 a.m. This is April 20th. And then small oil and gas, 11:30. And then joint interest at 2:30. And then that's all on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, we got a 9 a.m. revenue, 11:15 leadership conference. Tell me a little bit about the leadership conference. What is that?
Yeah, the leadership conference, you know, it used to be for anybody that was a COPAS president a society president or a committee member, board members, those kinds of things. We ask anybody that's interested in a current leader or want to be a future leader to attend these meetings. And a lot of times we discuss things that are more general in nature, kind of administrative kinds of things. I know one of the presentations we've got at this meeting coming up will be on the bylaws. We recently made some changes to the bylaws to make us really functional in the digital world. And it was kind of a result of what we had to do last year when we couldn't meet in person. Our bylaws didn't really allow for a virtual meeting. So we've had to make some changes and things and react to that. So we're going to cover those in more detail. And there'll be some other things that we give. So anybody that is interested in attending the leadership committee or leadership conference, they're welcome to do so. And I would encourage them, especially if they want to be a future COPAS leader.
Okay, that's great info. And then on Wednesday at 2:30 is the audit committee, and then it wraps up on Thursday the 22nd, 8:30 a.m. is the board of directors, and then 2 p.m. is the general council meeting. So is there anything else you want to add about the spring meeting?
You know, I wish this was an in-person meeting. I mean, honestly, I wish we were meeting in person for reasons that we talked about earlier, but we're not quite there yet. So we'll return to that in 2022, and we'll just be patient until then. But, you know, the fact that the important work of COPUS carries on no matter what we do and what meeting format we use, I think that's the most important thing to remember in this whole thing. And we've learned that we can do a lot of things virtually. There's a lot of companies that didn't realize that they could have their employees working from home and still get things done. So, you know, it's been a time of learning and a challenge for us. But, you know, I think in the long run, everything that we've encountered has really made us even stronger than we are. So I would just say that, you know, keep in mind that whether, no matter how we meet, it's going to be important that we continue on the work that we do. And I think we're going to get there.
Again, congratulations on 60 years of COPUS. That's pretty impressive. And I just want to encourage everybody, if you're interested in finding out more about COPUS in this meeting, go to the copus.org site and click on the events. And you'll find the info there for the spring meeting. I think to sign up is only $100, which Tom says is minimal compared to a lot of conferences. But you'll be able to join in on a lot of these meetings, especially if you're a COPUS member. Be sure to sign up and jump in on at least a couple of the meetings and let your voice be heard. Well, we come to the end of another great episode of the Oil and Gas Accounting Podcast. And you probably hear every podcast like us say, please subscribe and download, because that's how we rise in the ranks and we get more visibility and more listeners. And the more listeners we get, the more topic requests come in and the better our show gets. So please subscribe and download. So thanks for listening.
If you're doing accounting for oil and gas companies alone, you and the companies you serve are missing out. COPUS provides expertise for the oil and gas industry through the development of model form accounting procedures, publications, and education. With more than 2,600 members and 26 societies, members of COPUS are all over the United States and Canada. Being a COPUS member means that you are at the forefront of driving change and innovations that shape accounting in the petroleum industry. Outpace the rest and learn more about our industry's best accounting practices, standards, and guidelines that will propel your career. Find out how to join at copus.org.